Hello, I'm Brian Foster, and today I'm talking about Spiritism. Today is February 13th, 2022. We're going over the Spiritist Review of 1858. We'll talk about three main articles within the Spiritist Review. Of course, the Spiritist Review is created by a series of monthly magazines, edited and sometimes written by Allan Kardec. Before I begin, let's have a short prayer. Dear Jesus, please help us and help us create and fulfill and bolster our patience. Help us learn to remain calm and sure of ourselves and not lose our patience or lose our impeccable calm, as they say. Please help us to wait when things come according to the time of the spirit world. We recognize that time for us is different than time in the spirit world. So please help us in our journey along the path to find patience. Amen. Now, before I begin, I would like to ask people, if you want to learn more about Spiritism, I suggest you download my free PDF, Spiritism 101, The Third Revelation. You can get that at my site, nwspiritism.com. Download that for free. It's in English. I also have a version in French for free. If you like, there is a version in Kindle and in Audible and in paperback. It's about 100 pages, so it's a very short read. It's easy to give an overview of Spiritism. Okay, let's begin what we were talking about. So the first one we're going to show is the theory of our causes and actions. This should be interesting. Mr. R, corresponding member of the French Institute and one of the most eminent members of the Parisian Society of Spiritist Studies, in the session of September 14th, developed the following consideration as a corollary of the theory just given with respect to fear, reported in the previous article. And that was, I think we talked about that earlier. Me quote, from all communications of the spirits that are provided to us, it is clear that they exert a direct influence over our actions, some inviting us to good deeds and other to evil ones. St. Louis has just told us the following. Again, and this is true. This is one of, the great revelations of Spiritism, that there are spirits all around us. Before, I thought we were just, you know, I believed in a God, but far away. But there are spirits all around us. And let me show you what St. Louis, the spirit of St. Louis, said, who was the I think Louis the Ninth, who was a very nice king. The malevolent spirits like to have fun. Be careful with them. The one who judges to say something pleasant to a group of people that entertains the society with jokes and actions is sometimes wrong, and even many times wrong, by thinking it all comes from him. The frivolous spirits that surround him identify with him so much they gradually trick him with respect to his thoughts, tricking also those who listen to him. So what he's saying is that mediums, and this is where I believe is one of the big differences between Spiritism, where mediums are trained to understand the level of spirits that communicate with them, to Spiritualism, where mediums communicate with spirits, but they can be off times, I don't see it all the time, but they could be fooled by a spirit who's a lower spirit and who disguises himself or herself as a higher spirit. And therefore, you never know. This is where, when they start creating jokes and they will say frivolous things, and they'll tell you like your fortune, like you're gonna kind of frivolous fortunes, be suspectful of that. So the more the spirit talks, the more they give away themselves. This is why everyone who's interested in mediumship should read the Book of Mediums by Allan Kardec. You can look that up, Allan Kardec space PDF. You'll find all his major books in PDF, which is a spirit's book, is the main one to read. It was codified by Allan Kardec in the 1850s. Let me continue reading. From the above, it is evident that not everything we say comes from us, that many times, like the speaking mediums, we are nothing but interpreters of the thoughts of a strange spirit that is identified with ours. The facts confirm this theory and demonstrate that very frequently our acts are also consequences of thoughts that are suggested to us. Thus, the man who does an evil deed gives into a suggestion, whenever weak enough not to resist, ignoring the voice of the conscience that can be either his own or of a good spirit that combats the influence of a malevolent one through his warnings. And so what they're trying to say here is that we swim through a sea of spirits. We have good spirits. We have higher spirits. We have lower spirits or frivolous, some who actually want to do us bad. And that's where we are on earth. When we come to earth, we are given two things from the spirit world. We're given our conscience and our instincts. And so therefore, anything we think, and we, most of us, and I know I certainly don't know if it's inspiration from a spirit or whether a low or high spirit, but we whatever thing we want to do, we need to filter through our conscience. If it makes us nervous or stressed, it's not, we don't do it. Even if something is going to give you great material wealth and it makes you nervous or stressed, don't do it. It's against your conscience. That's why we get stressed. We get stressed because we go against our conscience. So there are, and so why do we have to go through this? Why does Jesus Christ and God allow us to have to go through this bad advice? Well, it's a lot like going through school, especially when you're in middle school, where you've got all sorts of friends giving you really stupid ideas. And of course, I always want to see you do the stupid ideas, because then it's much more amusing when you get in trouble, not them. This is part of our training. Our goal in life is to become a pure, a perfect spirit. And as such, we must learn to correctly block out ideas that are not the correct path. This is part of our training. They carry on. According to the common sense, man finds all his instincts in his own physical organization, for which he is not responsible, or in his own nature, where he can search for a cause, not been allegedly guilty for being created as such. The Spiritist doctrine is evidently more moral. It admits man's free will in all its plenitude by telling them that when he does an evil deed, he yields to an evil foreign suggestion. It attributes to man the full responsibility, since it acknowledges his power to resist. That is evidently easier if he'd had to fight against his own nature. Thus, according to the Spiritist doctrine, there is no irresistible creeping. Man can always close his ears to the occult voice that solicits him to act the evil acts in his innermost being, as he can also ignore the material voice of someone that talks to him. He can do so by his own will, asking God for the necessary strength, for which he shall beg for the assistance of the good spirits. This is what Jesus teaches us in the sublime prayer of the Pater Noster, when he says, "And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil." So again, this is so much important. And as I've said over and over, in reincarnation and karma in this world, the karma we make in our previous lives determine what we go through our trials and tribulation in this life. And therefore, in this life, the episodes, the drama, the betrayals, the most of the sicknesses, the major sicknesses, most of the major what seemingly are accidents that happen to us are all planned to give us tests and to give us necessary experiences and reasons to dive deep into our character and our personality, to rip out primitive emotions and replace those with advanced emotions. Our free will is how we interpret these episodes in our life and how we react to them. As we go higher and higher in planets, in our own spirituality, when we are physically incarnated, we have less of these imposed trials and tribulations, since we don't need to rip out primitive emotions from our body any longer. We just want to have more experiences and more knowledge. I'll carry on. When we take the short story that we just reported as an excuse to one of our questions, we would not think about the development that it would take. We feel twice as happy by the nice words it deserved from St. Louis and of those from our eminent colleague. Have we not been certain since long ago about the highest capacity of our colleague with respect to his profound knowledge about the Spiritist doctrine, we would be tempted to believe that such a theory came from him and that St. Louis used to complete his teaching. We are led to add our own considerations as follows. This is Allan Kardec. The theory of the exciting cause of our actions evidently sticks out from the whole teaching of the spirits. It shows not only a sublime morality, but also reveals a man to his own eyes. It shows him free to upset the obsessing oppression, as he is free to close the door to the annoying ones. He is no longer like a machine acting by impulse, irrespective of his will. He is a thoughtful being that hears, judges, and freely chooses between two advices. Furthermore, this is where our free will comes in. And this is where we have to exercise our conscience. When we have two different options, path one, path two. Path one maybe takes away our own material goods. Maybe it does less for us, but we feel good about it. Path two, well, we may have to be mean to some people, but boy, we get well rewarded for that. But we feel in the pit of our stomach that something's not right. Follow path one. Always remember the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd want to have others do unto you. And material goods, yes, and they're necessary in this physical life. And we have to work. We have to live. We have to provide shelter and transportation and all that. But we will get what we need. But if we want more, we need to do it honorably. And this is part of the test and part of exercising and filling in our conscience. As we go through life after life, our conscience gets filled in more and more and more like a law library. And our instincts get honed further and further. I'll carry on. Furthermore, despite all that, man is not absolutely deprived from taking the initiative. He does that on his own, since he is an incarnated spirit that preserves under his own corporeal covering the qualities and defects which he had as a spirit. Now, you can say, well, since I don't remember my past life, on my own preserves my qualities and defects? Well, what Spiritism tells us is that when we're between 15 and 20, 21, our own personality starts coming out. Before that, we really are somewhat of a blank slate. Our brain is growing. Our parents hopefully have good influence. Not everybody has good parents, and that is a trial in itself. But hopefully we'll have good influence to make us a better, more loving, overall good person. And then around 15, your true character starts coming through. That's why sometimes in families, you'll see a family with three or four kids, and most of them are just all wonderful, wonderful children. And they were probably all part of a spirit family that had reincarnated together time after time. Then there's always the one black sheep. And that is probably because the family agreed to take a more primitive spirit and put them in their family so that primitive spirit would have the ability to grow. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And that primitive spirit could be doing a lot of things that are not honorable, that are not good, that go against the foundation of the entire family. And that's why you'll see some people stick out. In a family that's usually just full of wonderful people, there's that one that just becomes, a crook, a raging drug addict, whatever. And that's because they probably volunteered to take that primitive spirit. There's no harm if that primitive spirit to that family doesn't do well. They tried. That's all that the spirit world wanted to have them do. I carry on. Furthermore, despite all that, man is not... Okay, where is that? Our faults thus have the primary source of the imperfection of our own spirit that has not yet achieved the moral superiority, which he'll one day have. But nevertheless, he still has the free will. He is given the corporeal life in order to purge his imperfections. Exactly, that's why we're here. Through the endured trials, and those very imperfections are the ones that make him weaker and more accessible to the suggestions of other imperfect spirits who take the opportunity to make him succumb in the struggles that he's going through. Now, how can inferior spirits know that, hey, this is a perfect guy, this is a perfect victim? They'll listen to my dumb advice. That's because in spirits, no matter high, low, or whatever, when they see us, they see our whole aura. And if they see darkness, and they can see our moral level immediately, because you wear your inside on the outside in the spirit world. That's why, like in the lower zone, which is a type of purgatory, below the lowest level of heaven to the crust of the earth, and then down below is called the dark abyss, which is another type of purgatory, but it's worse. That's why you see a lot of misshapen, ugly people, because what they are on the inside surfaces and displays them in all its not glory on the outside. So if people are ugly personalities, they take advantage of others, they obsess others, they have killed others in the past, they will look like criminals. They will look misshapen. They will look like they feel. So there's been stories of spirits telling us that when they see a human who's a very handsome or beautiful man or woman, when they sleep and then when they come out of their body to go in the spirit world, because we all can roam in the spirit world when we sleep, an ugly spirit comes out. A repulsive spirit comes out because that person is inside, not yet a advanced spirit. Someday they will be. That's why you have to love and forgive everyone. Doesn't mean you have to invite them for dinner or be best friends. Doesn't mean that they can't be go to jail for something they did wrong, but it does mean you can forgive and not actively hate them. Just know that they are a primitive spirit who has a lot to learn. I'll carry on. If he succeeds in those trials, he elevates himself. If he fails, stays the same, not better, nor not worse. It is a trial to restart, and this can drag on for a long time. Again, this is so true. This is called by spiritism parking. And I believe I've done that because I've been told I've failed over and over in my lives. And that happens. I think that happens to most people. Is what happens is that you still just do the same dumb things. You're either just want money too much, you want power too much, you're cruel to other people, you've got too much pride, you're too selfish, and then you go back to spirit world. And you go, I'll do better, and then you go back, and you're just the same way. So what happens? So if you want to know why sometimes seemingly good people have really hard trials. It's because you never really didn't learn from those trials. They gave you subtle trials that were hopefully elicited from you, from the stimuli they gave you, the ability to change your character and personality. If that doesn't work, you get a harder lesson. Because it will work at some point. You'll get the lesson you need. And the more you try to ignore the lessons that are given to you in this life, the more dramatic it will be in the next life. So try to learn from what you have. Do better than I do. I did. The more one depurates, the lesser the weak points and less subjective one will be to the solicitation of evil. The moral strengths will grow in proportion to the elevation. Hence, the bad spirits will stay away, right? Because they'll see you're elevated and go, I'm not going to bother with this guy. This is like a bully on the playground. If you ignore the bully or you can fight back, they're not going to bother you. Because most of them are very cowardly. Then who would be these bad spirits? Would they be the ones we call demons? They're not the demons in the vulgar meaning of the word, since by demons one implies a class of beings created for evil and perpetually devoted to evil. Well, the spirits tell us that sooner or later everybody improves according to one's free will. But while imperfect ones can do bad deeds, as the dirty water can spread putrid and morbid miasmas, as long as spirits do what is needed, they depurate while incarnated. As spirits, they suffer the consequences of what they did or did not do for their improvement. Consequences that they also suffer on earth as the vicissitudes of life or at the same time expiation and trial. All these more or less depurated spirits constitute the human species when incarnated. Since our earth is one of less advanced worlds, there are more bad spirits than good ones here. What explains so much perversity around us? Let us then apply every effort to not come back after this experience, so that we deserve to inhabit a better world in one of those privileged spheres where the good reigns absolute and where we shall remember our passage through earth as a bad dream. So we have a question here. Do we get more help from spirits as we are reborn and progress? The answer is, I think we always get help. We always get help. But as the more you progress, the more help you will be given. It's as Jesus said, the more that is given, the more that is expected. And therefore, the higher you rise, the more that there will be spirits around you to help you fulfill your mission, to help you progress, help you prepare for your next life, and on and on. I'll give you an example of this. One time I worked for a bank, and we had people come in and talk to us. And I was sitting in the second row in the stage, and we had the ex-prime minister of Britain, Tony Blair, come in. And I'd listened to the first speaker, and I didn't feel anything. But then when Tony Blair, who was a prime minister, and everybody has their opinions of him, but he was on Earth, he shaped opinion, he shaped the culture, he played an important part in our society. When he came, as he came in, I could feel, because I feel the presence of spirits through like electrical charge in my arms. I could just feel spirits right with him on that stage. They didn't show up beforehand. Only when he walked on stage, I feel that. So, and Chico Xavier probably had spirits around him all the time, not just Emmanuel, who was a spiritual mentor, but there are, these important people who affect our culture and the people you don't recognize, right? The people who are good people, they're trying their best. They too will have spirits with them, helping them. Now, if you go you park time after time, it's not like automatically every life you get more help. So you have to start showing some initiative, some progress. It's like school, right? In school, the teacher will help all students. But the student who is striving, even if the student is failing somewhat, but they have questions and they want to learn and they want to do better, that teacher will concentrate on them because that is the most efficient use of resources by helping the student who wants to learn. I hope that helps that. So let me get to the next story. It's page 255. So I skip around on this one because I do believe there are articles in here that are not that important. Okay. Oh, here's another question before I go on. Maybe become more aware of the help that there is as we study spiritism. Absolutely. If you start studying spiritism, you will become more aware. You probably had help to introduce you to that concept, introduce you to the spirit realm, why you're here. But then as you go, you start looking at the signs and signals, and you start really seeing, oh, okay. And then you start analyzing your previous life, and you go, oh, that's why that happened, right? So I even wrote a book on that one called The Seven Tenets of Spiritism, How They Impact Your Daily Life, where I went back and I said how I found spiritism and how I recognize sometimes I recognize in the past tense of how the spirits guided my life, right? As one instance, when I was in high school, I wanted to go into the Air Force. And then in my senior year, my eyes went, I was playing baseball. I was like, I can't track the ball anymore. Then of course my dad says, I think you need glasses. So that was my end of going to the Air Force. The funny thing is that years and years later, when I was in my 40s, I'd gone on like roller coasters and things like that. And I didn't really like them that much, but that was okay. But then I went in Disney World and a very jerky, and a simulator I could control, it never bothered me, but it was a jerky simulator that I couldn't control. And I went with my family. And when I went on that simulator, I was sweating. I was ready to faint. It was just that they laughed at me. I go, what's going on with Dad? Right. And so I knew that even if somehow I went in the Air Force and try to do something, that would have been flushed out fast. So that door was closed to me. Of course, I'd found out also later that I'd been in the military many times, and they didn't want me to do that this time. So that's how these things go. Doors will close, and other doors will open. Okay, let's go to the next one. Questions addressed to St. Louis through Mr. C. Pneumatophony, I don't know, oral communication. I haven't heard that one. And clairvoyant medium in the session of the Parisian Society of Spiritual Studies on October 12th, 1858. How come a man who has the firm intention of killing himself rebels against the idea of being killed by someone else and who would defend himself against the attacks on the very moment he would accomplish his intent? And here's the answer. Because a man always fears death. The suicidal is always super excited. His mind is disturbed. Thus he accomplishes his intent without fear or courage, and so as to say, without the knowledge of his action. Whereas had he been able to reason, we would not see so many suicides. Man's instinct leads him to defend his own life, and during the elapsed time, since another man approaches to kill him, in the proper act is always an instinctive repulsive reaction to death, leading him to repel that ghost, only terrifying to the guilty spirit. A man that commits suicide does not experience such a feeling, since he is surrounded by spirits that push him towards that, who help him with his desires. And there are spirits that do. That's why you need to really reject that. In fact, I've also heard Spiritism tell us from spirits is that if you had committed suicide in the past, around the same age you committed suicide in the past, you will feel an urge to commit suicide again in your next life. And you need to learn to reject that urge. Because suicide's a horrible thing, and it means you're leaving your trials and tribulations early, and you're going to have to go through them again. You're not making, there's no reason to end, because those are the trials and tribulations you are given. And as there was this hospital in the lower zone, and they were talking to suicides, people committed suicide, and they said, look, every episode and period of drama in our lives has a beginning and an end. If you just waited a week, a month, 6 months, a year, it would have ended. Things would have resolved themselves. So do not leave your life early. You signed up, you signed a contract to finish this life, finish the experience, even though you don't like it. Just do the best you can. If you do the best you can, I can guarantee you that your next life will be much better. Inducing him to completely erase the memory of anything different from himself, like those of his parents who love him in another existence. At such a moment, man is only selfishness. Exactly. One has to survive these things. And I understand why people have bad thoughts. I've had them too. And I've come close. Two, someone is not satisfied with life, but does not wish to commit suicide and wishes that his death may serve to something, will bear the culpability of seeking death in the battlefield, defending his country? The answer is always. Man has to follow the impulse given to him. Whatever his career, whatever his lifestyle, he is always assisted by spirits to guide him in spite of him. Thus, acting against their advice is a crime, because they're there to drive us, always ready to help us whenever we want to act. However, if a man wants to act by himself, by leaving this life, he is then abandoned. Later, he shall recognize his fault when obliged to restart in another existence. Man has to be proven in order to elevate. By impeding his action and blocking his free will, it would be like going against God. And in this case, the trials would become useless because the spirits would not make mistakes. The spirit was created simple and ignorant. In order to achieve the happy spheres, it is necessary the spirit elevates in knowledge and wisdom. It is only through adversity that it acquires an elevated heart and better understands God's greatness. And that is wise words completely. When we come to this earth, we are always primitive spirits. We have come through lower animals with a little bit of free will, but now we're given free will perfectly. And our free will has consisted of ignoring our conscience and just surviving and taking what we want and being selfish and prideful. Everything that served us well as a more primitive person. And yeah, as a primitive person, we go through life after life, just probably, I don't know, thousands, maybe 100,000s of years, as being not a very nice person. Eventually, we learn, because our goal is to rip out those primitive emotions that did well by us when we were in a tribe, or we were even in earlier, you know, life as an animal or something like that, where now we want to become an elevated spirit. We need to take out those characteristics and replace them with a new set of characteristics. Why? Why didn't God just make us like nice people to begin with? Because going through those trials and tribulations make every one of us unique. We end up as pure and elevated spirits, nice, calm, benevolent, but we still retain our own little quirks, our own little personality, our sense of humor. It's us. We're not worker ants. If God wanted worker ants, we'd all be worker ants. We go, oh, we're marching in line all the time. Our thoughts would not be original. God and the spirit world wanted diversity of thought and character, but they wanted people to use their immense power, because we remember the higher you go in the spirit world, the more powerful is your will. Thought is action in the spirit world. And they're not going to let us undisciplined ones here on earth high in the spirit world that we could create havoc. So this is why we go through this. But it makes us so we're not automatons. We're not robots. We're not androids. We are very unique personalities, right? These logical personalities. But it's a hard slog to get there. And we're in the middle of it. I'll carry on. One of the assistants observed that a contradiction was noticed between the last words from St. Louis and the preceding ones, when he said that a man can be dragged to suicide by the spirits that encourage him to do that. In such a case, would he be given into a foreign impulse? And the answer is, there is no contradiction when I said that a man who was impelled to suicide was surrounded by spirits that solicit him to do that. I was not referring to the good spirits that make all the efforts to persuade him from doing that. That should be inferred. We all know that we have a guardian angel or a familiar guide, if you like. Well, man has his free will. If, despite the good advice that's given to him, he perseveres in that criminal intent, he is so he does seconded by the frivolous and impure spirits that surround him and that feel happy to see the incarnated spirit, also lacks the courage to follow the advice from his good angel. And sometimes the spirit of dead relatives that are around him, particularly in those circumstances. So you always have a choice. Don't give up. And you always have, listen to the good spirits that talk to you and your family spirits, not just your guardian angel and your spirit mentor, but listen to your family that's been there. Let me show you this. Speaking of that, I once imagined what if someone asked why God made humans out of such an aggressive species and why not a more docile species? Exactly. The spirit world wants us intellectually aggressive, maybe not physically aggressive. We start out physically aggressive, but we want to turn that aggressiveness like wanting to learn, wanting to excel, and instead of wanting to dominate, we have that aggressivity to want to help people, to want to do better, to want to help guide whole races and cultures. That's why aggressiveness is there. We just have to channel that aggressiveness into the right avenues. The plan, the more you understand the processes and the rules and the divine laws of the spirit universe, it becomes quite, it's like, it's so smart, because if you're a company and you want to create like the best employees ever, right? You do what God does. You just put them through rings of fire until they get better and better. And, you know, and then they self-select themselves as they go up and they become loving, benevolent, and yet, direct, intellectual, full of wisdom, and knowing what they need to do best and as perfect as possible, not perfect as Jesus or like that or as God, but as perfect as they can be. It's genius. But looking from our point of view as a physical person on earth, like, oh, this is a hard slog. This can be tough sometimes. I've been through literal, you know, hell. And, But those things are all, they're not there to punish, they're there to edify us. And that's what we have to keep in our minds all the time. You know, when I lost a huge amount of money twice in my life, boy, did I think I was punished. And boy, did I want to punish myself for that. But now looking back at it, I understand, like, you know, I stole all sorts of money from people in previous lives. I was in positions of power and I took advantage of that, just like people take advantage of it now. And that's exactly what I needed to learn. I don't need a lot from now. So it makes a difference. Okay. That's an excellent point. Okay. Now, next one is Family Conversations from Beyond the Grave. This is Mehmet Ali, who was a leader of Egypt and also was in part of the Egyptian priesthood way back, you know, thousands and thousands of years. But he was one of the, I think, pashas of Egypt back in the days that it was part of the Ottoman Empire, I believe. Okay. In the name of the Almighty God, I ask the spirit of Mehmet Ali to come to communicate with us. And the answer is yes, I know the reason. You promised to come to instruct us. Will you be kind to listen to us and answer? I don't promise, as I'm not committed to doing that. Now, notice how he's very, like, direct. You know, and this is how you're going to, this is how most spirits will talk to you. They're direct. They say what they mean, and they mean what they say. Three, let us replace promises by you made us wait. You mean to satisfy your curiosity? Never mind, I'll make myself useful. Four, considering that you lived in the times of the pharaohs, can you tell us what was the reason for the construction of the pyramids? The answer, they are burial chambers, tombs, and temples. Great manifestations took place there. And that is seconded in this great book by Emmanuel, On the Way to the Light. He said that the pyramids have great spiritual power. Number five, do they also have a scientific interest? No, the religious interest absorbed everything. Now, what Emmanuel said is what we say is scientific meant different things at different ages of human civilization. And the priests thought they were scientific because they wanted to understand the spirit world, the different level of the spirits, what the spirit world was like. And to them, that was their science. And in fact, there has been other cult, other civilizations that have risen and been broken by the spirit world, the Atlanteans and the Lemurians, because they went and they were technologically more advanced than their moral advancement. Number six, it was necessary that the Egyptians were well advanced mechanical engineering, so as to realize tasks that required so considerable forces. Can you give us an idea of the means they employed? Masses of men moaned under the weight of those stones that crossed the centuries. The machine was man. So there's a lot of theories of how the pyramids, how the stones moved, right? And he's saying basically it was labor. It was manpower. So they probably had pretty good ways to glide them or you know, wheels or something. But yeah, it was probably difficult. Which class of man was employed in such great work? Those that you call people, so just regular people. Were the people on a state of slavery, or did they receive a salary? Forced, so there were slaves. Number nine, where did the Egyptians get their taste for colossal things from, rather than the gracious ones that distinguished the Greeks, considering their common origin? The Egyptians was touched by God's greatness, wanted to equal him, overcoming his own forces. Always man, so... Again, the pride of man wanted to, you know, to be bigger than or equal to the power around him. That's why Jesus said, if you want to become better, you have to be humble, humble like a child. Number 10, since you were a priest on those days, kindly tell us something about the Egyptian religion. Was it the people's belief with respect to the divinity? It was corrupted. They believed their priests. Their gods were those who kept them under the oppression. And again, this is a story that's told time and time again, even in the Catholic Church. As when the Catholic Church first started, actually Spiritism says that they actually preached and believed in reincarnation and karma. But as the Catholic Church became more powerful and the priests didn't want people to believe in multiple lives, they wanted people to be dependent on them in this life and not think about the next life. And people like senators and senators' wives didn't want their slaves thinking, well, next life they'll be a senator or a high Roman patrician, and that Roman patrician will just be a beggar, right? They didn't want that to happen. They wanted people to be locked into their lives and be dependent upon them. So It's still happening. That's why we have the third revelation, Spiritism, where they said, okay, we're gonna increase the whole world. We're gonna have mediumistic ability for more and more people, more and more of the regular people. Not just, it used to be the spirit world gave the priest of whatever religion, right? They gave him much more mediumistic ability. That has been taken away from them. They have failed and given to more and more of the regular populace. That's why so many people are interested in mediumship. So many people talk to spirits. But that's, again, why you must study, understand spirits, protect yourself against spirits that fool you. The Catholic Church and the other, Christian religions and other religions are correct in a state that be careful. And they say, don't talk to spirits. They're all demons. Well, they're not. But some of them are. So you have to educate yourself about it. And it's best always to be with other mediums, and especially with spiritist mediums. Question 11. What did they think about the soul after death? They believed in what they were told by the priest, of course. Number 12. Had the priest a more sound idea than the people about God and the soul? Yes. They had the light in their hands. Although hiding it from others, they still saw it. They understood. The celebrities of the state shared the priest or the people's beliefs. They were between the two. What was the origin of the cult to the animals? They wanted to deviate man from God by reducing him to their level, offering inferior beings as gods. 15. One can understand up to a point the cult of useful animals, but the dirty and harmful ones like the serpents, crocodiles, etc. And the answer is, man adores what he fears. It's a kind of oppression to the people. The priests could not believe in the gods made by their hands. There you go. Still true today. We have our propaganda and our media try to give us fear. So we ask, help us away from this fear. Lead us, right? Instead of thinking for ourselves. 16. Isn't it strange the same time they adored a crocodile, reptiles, they also adored the Ichneumon, I don't know what that is, an ibis that destroyed them. Aberration of the spirit. Man seeks gods everywhere to hide what he actually is. Why was Orisis represented with a hawk's head and Anubis with a dog's head? The answer is the Egyptians liked to personify under the form of clear emblems. Anubis was good. The ruthless hawk represented the cruel Orisis. How can one reconcile with the respect of the Egyptians by the dead with their disdain and horror for those who buried and mummified them? The answer was the cadaver was the instrument of manifestations. According to their thoughts, the spirit will return to the body once it had animated. Since it was one of the instruments of their cult, the body was sacred, and the disdain followed those who dared to violate death's sanctity. And we see that everywhere where certain groups of people are not treated very nice by society. Did the conservation of the body allow for a larger number of manifestations? Longer, that is, the spirit would return for longer times, since the instrument was docile, just an excuse. The body was never, it was just a way to focus. 20. Wouldn't the conservation of the bottle also carry an issue of salubrity, considering the floods of the Nile? Yes, the bodies of the people. Yes. Did the imitation of the mysteries in Egypt go through as much rigorous practices as in Greece? And the answer is even more rigorous. So the priests were rigorously trained. Number 22. What was the aim of imposing conditions that were so difficult to accomplish to the initiated? To have only superior souls, to those who know how to understand and remain quiet. And again, we see that today on certain secret societies where they have initiations after initiations. And they do that to make people feel like they're special brainwash them into a certain path of thinking. Number 23. And so if you're in one of these secret societies or you are in a religion that threatens to kick you out if you don't follow them, completely excommunicate you, whatever it is, leave. They're not worth it. Spiritism is here for you to pick up the book, Spirit's book, the Gospel According to Spiritism, whatever book you want to pick up. Read about the spirit world, read about why you're here, and decide for yourself. You're not here to have faith because a priest or whatever they call it told you to have faith and told you to do a certain thing. There are no ways to dress, food you can or cannot eat, right? anything like that. And there's no prayers that have to be said every day. No, it's all in your mind. It's about making your mind. It's about making yourself less prideful, less selfish. Take out hate, anger, revenge, and replace those with love, fraternity, and charity. That's why you're here. It's not to go to any type of organized religion. It's fine if you want to be part of organized religion. If that helps focus you and brings you comfort, there's nothing wrong in that whatsoever. But don't let them force you in something you don't want to do, because they say, if you don't, you won't get to heaven, or something will happen to you. No, that's not true. Even atheists will go to heaven if they're good people. Now, don't be an atheist, because if you really not believe in anything, and when you die, you go to sleep, it takes a lot of effort on the spirit world to wake you up. Sometimes they sleep for a long time, hundreds of years. You don't want that to happen to you. So if you are an atheist, keep it in the back of your mind, like, yeah, there might be something there. Number 23. Have the teachings about the mysteries had the revelation of the extra human things as their only objective, or the principles of moral love to the neighbor were also taught? The answer is all that was much corrupted. The intent of the priest was to dominate, not to instruct. And have we seen any difference? I'm sure there's many priests and rabbis and people in different temples, yogis, etc., are wonderful, wonderful people. But there's still corrupt people in there. That is to dominate, not to instruct. Okay. That is it today. So I want to carry that off. So I hope that was helpful to people. And again, if you want to understand my own path to spiritism, you can read the book, which is right behind my shoulder here. Seven Tenets of Spiritism, How They Impact Your Daily Life. And also, if you would like to understand the spirit world, the spirit realm, the physical world, what you are as a spirit, what your future as a spirit, how to rise as a human in a physical body, read my book, The Spirit Realm, Spiritism Has Revealed the Reality of Our Existence. That should give you a good picture. I would first read my free PDF, Spiritism 101. I think that would be extremely helpful. And then I would read the Spirits book. Of course, the Spirits book, if you want the Spirits book, just again, as I said before, type in Allan Kardec space PDF, and you'll find all his five major books in PDF version. Read those. They're all interesting. But if you know, if they're too much to you, the reason I wrote my books is because everyone learns differently. And there's also, even after Allan Kardec, there's more and more information given to us by other spiritist mediums. Elon Denis, who was also French in the 19th century, and then in the 20th century, Chico Xavier, Yvonne Piera, Divaldo Franco, still alive today. So there's more than that, but I just want to give you so more and more. And as Spiritism said, more information will be given as we as our culture and our character and technology ascends. So it's not something where people who believe the Bible is just a static book and it never changes is not true. So what the spirits tell you is that the messages of love and charity and fraternity are eternal in the Old and the New Testament. But other things were bounded by the culture and the people's technology at the time. And therefore, there's more and more of you're self-directed here. You're given, it's more instead of giving, like in Moses' time, the people were given commands, do this or you're in trouble, right? And then in Jesus' time, like, okay, let's soften this a bit, forgive. Might does not equal right. That's what Socrates said 400 years earlier, and he was killed for it, one of the aspects of why he was killed. And now, in the 1850s with Allan Kardec, it's okay. Here's the spirit realm. Here's why you're here. Figure it out. Do you want to do better because of what we're showing you? That's up to you. There's no eternal damnation. That's not going to happen. It's just, you're just going to be slower on the path to perfection. So anyway, I want to thank everyone for being here today. and God bless everyone. And remember that Mondays we have Q&A about spiritism. Ask any question. And, oh, wait, there's another question here before I leave. So did the Egyptians believe in reincarnation in the same body, hence mummification? And did they really believe what they were buried with would be useful in some other life? So I believe that they told the people that, but what the priests believed is it kind of hinted that the priests knew that wasn't the case. So they just gave the people what to believe so the priests could have the main power. And now, did they really believe they were buried with it would be useful in some other life? I'm sure the regular Egyptians believe that, but what the priests believe, the more they understood the fact that is the spirit world is you can't take anything with you, right? I don't believe they believe that, but I don't know for certain. I don't know. Good question, though. And so when you're in the spirit world, this is what it gets me excited. When I'm in the spirit world, I want to go to these libraries, and you can actually immerse yourself in the time and the culture, like be there and see history in 3D, right? What people's thoughts are, what's going on, and that'd be a great place to be. Okay, so I want to thank everyone tonight, and God bless, and hopefully I'll see you live streaming on Monday and on Tuesday. God bless.